was definitely hoping we could finish up at least getting through this through the reason and revelation. I know my handout goes a little bit further than what we're going to be able to get through this quarter, but I put some basic scripture, some basic topics and bullets in that handout, so I encourage you to take your own study and go on with this, even though that we're probably not going to get through it. We laid out our study on commands, on examples, and on necessary inferences, which gave us the instruction on how that we can go ahead now and do some application and some study as far as authority goes. I was looking here, getting started this morning, kind of made me think. God, we know in Genesis, He laid out some very basic principles for us in Genesis, and we know that He created all things, but we know that He went to extra effort to document that everything He made was good, didn't He? We know that we started out with everything good. So, if it's of God, it's of good. But everything that man has been given or has the power to use or at his fingertips that God's given, man has used good or he's used bad, hadn't he? Sin came into the world through him. Wasn't God's plan originally that we would be in the world that we're in today, but He knew, being all-knowing, that man would sin, and from that we would be where we're at today. But the thing of it is that everything good God made, man found a way to do something bad with it. You look at the plants. He gives us the plants. He gives us the fruit of the earth. He gives us everything that we want. Yet man can find ways to abuse that, can he? He can make drugs. He can make medicines. And even medicines are something that are good that God's allowed man the ability to do. But he can make those a bad thing by the way that he uses them. TV, what a great tool that could be. But we see how it's used. Man can figure out a bad way to use it. The internet's no different. Like to apply the same thoughts to human reasoning. God gives man intellect. He gives him the ability to reason. Human reasoning is no different than anything else. It's a blessing that God gave us that we're to use to seek Him out, to know Him, and to know His will. Yet man can make a bad application of reasoning when it comes to God's Word, and he can allow that to alter God's Word. Most of the world, I know I've had discussions with others before, and when you take people to Scripture a lot of times, they don't respect the authority of the Scriptures. And when you don't respect the authority of God's Word, you don't respect the author of it. You have to respect that authority. They can see and you can show what God's Word says. And they'll admit, that's fine, that's good, I understand that, but... And they allow reasoning to alter or change God's Word to fit. When we start with reasoning and revelation simply means the revealing of God's will. We're not talking about the book of Revelations. We're talking about man's intellectual reasoning versus what God has given us or revealed to us. Just having this ability to think, this intellectual reasoning, that's something that God gave man that He gave no one else. Nothing else in His creation has the ability that we have. We were created in His likeness. So we are the sole recipients of what God has revealed to us because nothing else has that ability to reason or to understand it. He chose, as we've studied in CL's lesson, He has chose to give that to us in the form of a written word. He's given us that intellect to be able to understand His will from that. In 1 Corinthians 2, 11 through 13, we're not going to read all of it, but a part of it there that's real good, probably the most of it, says, "The things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Goes back to our first lesson, and I'd like to reemphasize the way we began our whole study. Think about God's Word as its completeness. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a verse that we commonly refer to. It's complete. It's left us lacking for nothing. We have everything that we need. And we have to look at our faith. We have to take a self-examining look at our faith as it compares to what God gives us. Because if we truly have that faith to follow what God gives us, we won't question that, will we? We'll do what God's Word says, and we'll understand and know, even though we may not understand it with our reasoning, it's God's intent that it be that way. The mind of God, we're told, was revealed to the mind of men. Just the fact, I guess, in and of itself that God gave man an intellect would be evidence that we need that He expects us to have it and to use it. He revealed this message to us, we're told in Ephesians 3:3-5, and that we use our intellect to understand that. Isaiah 1:18, I think I put that in your handout too. You know, we're told there in that writing, and it's as old as it is, let us reason together. We're to sit down and we're to reason of what God wants of us. So we ask the question, can human reasoning be the standard for religious practices? And we have to look before we can answer that question as to what was man's human reasoning meant for? Why did He give us that when it comes to spiritual matters? He never intended man to use his ability to think and reason, his intellect, as something that it would be used to reject God, to reject His will, or to alter or change His will. That's not what His intent was at all. We know, when I gave you Scripture, Acts 17:27-30 and Romans 2:14-16, that there existed a time when God allowed man to seek after Him with his own conscience. But we see, as a result of what happened with that, what a gross failure that was on man's part. It's no longer God's will that man does what he sees fit. It's no longer His will, but He gave him this divine revelation, this complete revelation that puts everybody, just as you'd say, on the same page together. You know, in times past, He spoke to the fathers. There was not this divine word as a completed product, 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we would have, or 13:10, I'm sorry. But God gave us this divine revelation as a whole to guide us. Romans 1:18-25, when we look at that, it's shown in this time what happened when man was allowed, or when this direction, this completed divine revelation was not there, and man more or less went after his own interpretations. It says that what ended up happening with that was, he says, he changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I'd ask the question today, can man change the glory of God today into something corruptible? No. Something that's corruptible is something that's been changed or altered, corrupted, no longer pure. And man, in his own understanding, in his own reasoning, that's exactly what's done in a lot of the world today. He takes God's Word, and in his own eyes, he corrupts it, changes it, or alters it. So God, a man can do that. He gives him total freedom to make his decisions and what he does. Now, God will protect His Word. He will protect it. He will keep it pure. That's something I think that I often think about, you know, when you get to studying on some of the subjects that we've had with CL and Donnie and some of our recent ones about God's Scriptures and whatnot. Not only do we need to understand and have faith that God gave us this Word, but He has the ability to protect it as well. Nathan.
I'd like to read you a scripture right here.
Okay.
You know, in 1 John, it tells you the Word was God and
Christ.
Okay, this is Isaiah 55. I'm starting out here at 11. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of the mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it.
Right.
The Word of God will stand.
That's right. At the end of time, won't it? Any corrupted state of that is on man. It's on his part.
I think where it's corrupted at is when false teachers.
Right.
We've got gods of them
right.
On every corner.
Alter, change, or allow it to be changed.
And they will not preach the truth, and people are following them.
Right.
Society.
They give man what he wants, and man comes to that.
I just watched it on TV the other day, and this guy said, "Send me $1,000, and you'll get How many more than 1,000?
You'll see a lot of that, and any more of the great advantages that we have with the internet, you can get onto there. But I'm telling you what, it is a sea of false teaching, and it's no different than the world. You've got to find the truth. And not because what the world has done, it's misapplied human reasoning. They've misapplied it from something that God gave us in order to obey His Word and to know Him, and they've changed it into something that's used to alter God's commands, and that was never God's intent with that. We know from our teaching in times past, and I put some scripture in there I think later on, at least twice, you know, God, every man that walked this face of this earth knew God. But we know that man chose at times not to retain that knowledge, not to worship God, not to follow after God. And so we see what comes from that. But it pleased God to give us this divine revelation, this complete thing, and it was preached throughout the world to save this world that was after it, 1 Corinthians 1 and 22.
Well, Brother Mark?
Yes.
A funny thing to me that these false preachers, how people will follow them like a duck to water.
They seek what pleases them, yeah.
They will not listen to the truth.
Right. They seek what they desire, and that's what they offer. 1 Corinthians 3, 19 through 20 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it's written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." This wisdom that man proclaims and uses to alter God's Word, to God it's foolish. We know that. This puts a really strong emphasis on us that we need to listen to what God says. Remember our example that we used and how the world often gets sidetracked? They go to God's Word with their own will in mind to find and justify proof for, justification for. We need to go to God's Word and let God's Word explain the will to us, not to depend on our own wisdom. Proverbs 3, verse 5 is another one that we often look at that tells us about our wisdom and puts it in perspective as according to God. Y'all want to turn to that and look at that. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path." Jeremiah 10:23, another one that tells us it's just not in us to direct our own paths, because we will direct our own paths according to what we see is what's good at this moment. But we are constrained to only the wisdom that we can have as a mortal man. God is not. God sees the repercussions of acts that we commit here on earth all the way to eternity. We don't. We see the repercussion of an act is what's going to happen at that moment or during this lifetime. He's so far above us in wisdom and knowledge that we can't reason on these lines. So the answer to the question that we started with, can human reasoning be the standard for religious practices, is absolutely no. The only standard that we have is God's Word. That's what keeps us together. That's what will see us through to eternity. And after all, that's what's going to judge us. Not our human reasoning, but God's Word. God didn't give us this ability to reason and forbid us to use it. It was given to us as a tool to better know Him. Our reasoning powers can be well used to come to an understanding of who God is and what God is saying to man in His revelation. We made that point earlier. I would say that the intellect of man, intelligence of man, is greatly challenged by the Scriptures. I know we can study for a lifetime, can't we? I don't think anyone or any man has ever completely grasped all that he could from God's Word. I think even if you memorized God's Word and had the ability to do that, you would continue to grow and to learn throughout a full time of life. It's kind of like a sport that you might play or something that you do in this world. You never get the best that you could probably be. If you worked harder, you could always improve. It's like playing a piano. You can always get better. A sport, you can always get better. Anything we do, if we apply ourselves harder, we can always get better. I don't know in one man's lifetime if he could ever completely grasp all the Scriptures, but God did make us and give us His divine revelation in something that we can understand completely. Salvation can be obtained, and we can know what His will is for us. We're capable of knowing there's a God. We often go to Romans 1 for that, 19 through 21 or in that area, where we're reminded that all we've got to do is look around us. Folks, that's no different than what it was 2,000 years ago. That's no different than it was when man was created. Man was able to look around. You start understanding that man's always had these things. We have a tendency to think new all the time because we're bombarded with new, but there's nothing new, is it? We're told that. Everybody has had these same evidences around them and always will. And it's our job to know that there's a God by looking around us and seek Him out. I was looking on the internet the other day, just something about creation. We was talking about it in Donnie's class and whatnot. I found this one article where you see a trend in some of the scientific opinions that are beginning to admit that there has to be some kind of intellectual something behind the creation or the way things, but they won't admit that it's a God, of course, but they begin to understand these things because the evidences that are around us prove that. We know that God exists, and it's our job to seek Him out and find Him. That's what God holds us accountable to. We're to give Him the proper worship and submission. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us and tells us, without faith, we're not going to please Him. Faith is only going to come from one place, and that's God's Word. It's not going to come from man's reasoning. It's going to come from His Word. We've got to go in here and find Him. We've got to find His will. And we're capable of completely doing that. We can understand God's will, but to see the reasonableness of it, such you can look at Romans 12:2, Acts 10:34. So we got to keep man's reasoning in its proper place, and the fact that it's not used to deny God or deny His revelations, but to rather to aid us, as we said before, in knowing Him, knowing His will. So intellect is definitely not the authority in religion. But merely an aid toward the end of understanding and accepting God's revelation to man. Let's talk about reason and faith just a minute. The reason I want to is I'd like to to get through most of this so we can use our last week, next week, to either finish this up and make some closing applications or look at what's going on in the world around us as compared to some of this. So let's look at reason and faith. Ask yourself these questions, because these are questions that come up with many of our youth and some of our older that find themselves out in the world and in situations where they are questioned about intellect and man's knowledge as opposed to faith. And it raises these questions. It says, can a thinking person be religious? These are questions that's raised to them. Can a believer be intellectually honest in what he holds to in religion? Can beliefs be supported by evidence? Does it even matter? You'll hear a lot of that from the world. Can a person go ahead and believe whether or not it makes sense? And why do some people with seemingly strong convictions that we see, for instance, one who may go to higher education or higher learning, why does doubt, should they doubt on these things? You know, a thinking person can be religious. Absolutely. There's no reason why not. The evidence and the things that are around us are on our side. The proof is here. God's proof is here. They can't alter that. We can definitely be religious and be a thinking person. We can be intellectually honest with ourselves and still believe. The evidence supports it. It does matter. Absolutely. Our eternity matters. Can a person go ahead and believe whether or not it makes sense? He can absolutely believe whether or not it makes human sense to him. Yes, he can. What great examples that we have in Job. You know, Job himself even said, you know, I don't understand, but I know. You know, he knew what to do. I often think about Abraham. We mentioned him when we first started out. As long as he and Sarah waited for a child, and then finally, after all that they went through to get that child, and God asked him to sacrifice it. I mean, where would human reason take you there? You know, God would surely not want me to kill a child that He gave to me divinely and do all that. Man's reasoning would kick in on it. But because of Abraham's faith, Job's faith, and the others that's mentioned in Hebrews 11, what did we learn from them? We pointed that out in the very beginning. They were great because they obeyed. They didn't question, and they didn't use human reasoning. They faithfully followed and obeyed God's word, even though it may have not made sense to them at that time. We see three things happen to a lot of our kids. I don't remember a lot when I went to college, but I remember there was a lot of pressure on you, you know, that was anti-God, but I'm sure it's not got any better since it's been a few years since I was there. That's a joke. It's been a long time since I've been there. But some of the three things that we see often, responses that come from one who is faithful that falls under these pressures of higher education, is number one, some give up their faith as being unreasonable when it comes to reasoning with the school. Others withdraw their faith from intellectual scrutiny. And number three, still others will compromise and live with a weakened faith, not believing that it can withstand a full intellectual scrutiny, but unwilling to break their ties with religion. And none of these are necessary or desirable. We shouldn't want that. Everything is on our side. Faith, as we talked about before, should be as strong today as it was back, you know, years ago. We have the same evidences around us today. As a matter of fact, we have more technology now that's helped us prove what God has told us. Donnie spent some time in his lesson the other day. You know, when did man discover the world was round? I'm quizzing you. No, I don't remember either. But it was long after God's Word told us it was round. The discovery of the currents in the sea and all those other things that he brought out tells us God knew these things and gave us these things long before. And man's technology and discoveries just keep propping him up more, propping up God more. So, we should have a stronger faith today as ever. Faith and reason are not enemies. They should be friends and allies in this case. We have discoveries all the time that back up the Bible and support its accuracy. The evidences that were written to us in John that we spent time and study with. It's just, it all works together. We should even be stronger today in faith than ever. Intellectual integrity, I had a note here, says, involves a willingness to submit one's belief to rational investigation. We will do that. The Bereans were a good example of that when it came to God's Word. Acts 17:11, we're told that they searched diligently and they proved and they weighed the things that were brought to them in the balance of God's Word, just as we should do today. And they knew if the message was valid or true. They investigated it. They used their reasoning compared to God's Word as the standard. And what came from that? A believing, a faith. They were propped up in their faith. Belief was based upon evidence to support what preached as being true. Peter even warns us in 1 Peter 3:15 that we are to be ready, in season and out of season, to defend this Word, to always give a reason for our hope that we hold. So reason can and should pave the way for our faith, and it can definitely help us to grow our faith, make our faith grow. However, these intellectual obstacles that man, when he allows intelligence outside God's parameters and allows it to invade the purity and the sanctity of God's Word, it can wreak havoc and destruction on it. And it can hinder a person from believing and committing their lives to God. You think of some of the questions that we often hear when we're out talking and arguments that are sometimes thrown up to those who, usually an atheist, more of an atheist, that just flat doesn't believe that there's a God. And they often throw up the questions, if this God is so loving and merciful and all this, why do we have sickness in the world and pain and questions that might creep up to some who are looking into God's words? How can one reconcile contemporary scientific conclusions with some of the biblical statements? These are obstacles that our minds, our intellect, will put in front of, stumbling blocks. How can one be sure that religion is not just the evolving of social conditioning? I've heard that before. People who think this is a compiled word of different authors over the time that was something to just help program man into being able to live together and be a cohabitor with one another. Or something that fulfills some kind of a psychological need in man, or something to that effect, robbing it of being God's inspired Word and saying that it's man created for these reasons. I think another thing that man always throws in as far as an intellectual obstacle is, I don't see something as best for me or us in this case. And he goes into God's Word with the intent to find what he wants, and that we can't do that either, because if we change it or if we alter it, we've corrupted and we've changed the glory of God into something that's corrupted. We got to deal with these things. Questions of this nature need to be dealt with by a reasoning process, and often before faith can be possible, we've got to answer these things. So reason can prepare the way for faith. I think intellectual, if it's correctly used, it makes faith reasonable to the questioning mind. I think Thomas was a good example of that. We remember him. He wanted proof, didn't he? He wanted to see. And that's where we will go next week in our study. Let's look at Let's look at God's revelation and the faith that comes from it as opposed to evidence, to what we can see, touch, feel, taste. Because we've got examples with Thomas there and some of the others that wanted that. They had to have